But can I ask Heron Loban, you did some form of study, just remind me what it was on the...
Yes, I work at the Legal Service on First Island now, but the second half of last year I did a report for the State Government to Justice Services in the Torres Strait, and I agreed with everything Mrs Mao and Father Moresby have said, but there's perhaps just a few other points
certainly.
That I maybe could just add, or maybe perhaps reiterating what they've said. I think one of the community police officers said something to me early on in the project which really stuck in my mind, and that was that they said that the policing model, any policing model that rolled out, would need to be culturally appropriate and economically viable. And I think that's they're probably the two main things that we're looking at when you say there is going to be this vacuum. Because I think realistically we can't expect the police service to put stations on every one of those little communities that we have, because they'd be building 15 to 20 police stations. So we need to look at an alternative to that. I think what really came out of my consultations, and I went to most of the communities with the exception of a few, and was that the community wanted to manage their own conflicts, wanted to manage their own issues, and that comes back to having our own community police govern ourselves, govern our own communities, deal with those issues and deal with those problems, using internal mechanisms rather than getting outside people, such as police that don't exist already, and bringing them into the community and adding a new dynamic and not really knowing how that might end up affecting the community or relationship with the police, for example. I think, and that also puts a focus on capacity building within the community as well, which I think is something which government is starting to move more towards, so the community has its capacity to deal with its own issues rather than its dependence on government or government services. And that's part of building the partnerships that QPS have also been talking about as well. I think the QuadCIP certainly was a theme that came out from just about every community. Every community that I went to said, we want QuadCIPs like Bardu, because they saw them as having more powers. They saw them as being attached to QPS. They saw them as being better trained, and the QuadCIPs themselves did participate in training in Townsville, Cairns and Brisbane. And the feedback from the community, I myself, when I jump out of a plane at Bardu, you get in someone's car and they say, put on your seatbelt. Now, a lot of people on TI don't even do that. No offence to you. But the QuadCIPs, you know, they've got everyone in line. So they take their job very seriously. And they know, and the community know, that they are accountable back to QPS. So if there's any... feeling that they might be partaking on the side of one family or one part of the community, all that needs to happen is a complaint's made to QPS and those processes start to come in place. So I guess that's certainly the support that as Mrs Mao and Father Moresby have said, for the QuadCIP program. And I think, the other thing is that while there is a police plane, which is... money's been set aside for that, and that's really great. I think it doesn't, whilst it's great, it still doesn't deal with that issue of an immediate first response. So when you have a domestic violence situation, or you have somebody that's in a fight or in a brawl where they're being stabbed, the police still aren't able to respond to that at that time, which is when the real danger is happening. And I think that's really what the QuadCIPs can perhaps offer. And at the moment, the community police, without any training or any support, are trying to do that. And I did also hear from some of the communities, which concerned me, that health workers were performing that first response role. So they were taking victims into the health centre and putting their own selves at risk with the assistance of the community police. So, I mean, that's just an unfair and untenable situation. So I think... all of that sort of feedback supports what the police have said, and that came from both sides. QPS and the community seem to agree on this model of whether you call it QuadCIPs or special constables, but having our own people make our own decisions seem to be economically viable and provide that cultural appropriateness in terms of language, knowing the community, the families, knowing the history, and all of those sorts of things. So that's certainly the model that came out of my research, that would be put forward to fill that vacuum. And so that was supported by the police officers that were based in the Torres Strait, as well as the community members themselves. So so I would certainly be advocating something along those lines, and I think that's supported by Mrs. Mao and also Father Mosby in the comments they've made. And I guess just the last point was a whole of government approach is needed. I think we've talked about that a few times, particularly where you have small communities and each agency isn't going to have a little office. You know, in child safety issues, you can have a juvenile which has child, they're in the criminal justice system, but they also have, there are child safety concerns, and so you need to involve those agencies. Community does youth justice conferencing. So I think there's a lot greater need, particularly for our small communities, to be more efficient and effective in a way that government spends money to deliver the best level of services on that sort of cost basis. So I think that's where community justice groups can have an important role as well.
Mm.
So a paid important role for community justice group members. So